Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. As we get ready to spend time with Tim this week, the Crimson successfully completed their non-conference schedule in Washington, D.C., the Truth and Service Classic against the Howard Bisons on Saturday, and now get ready for the run, the sweepstakes, as I call it, for the Ivy League Championship commences in earnest. With five Ivy League games through the game in November. It'll all begin this week and begin early with Friday Night Lights, the Crimson renewing their rivalry with the Princeton Tigers. Coach, overall, successful finish to that non-conference slate with the game against Howard, 41-25 victory. Overall, a lot of positives to take out of that one.
No question about it, Bernie. Proverbial great team effort. Defensively, we did a really good job in the second half. Offensively, probably our most complete game with 41 points and a rare, and this is something we certainly have been spending a lot of time on, making sure that our kids understood the importance of. 41 points with zero penalties and zero turnovers. Boy, if you can get that every week, you're gonna win a lot of games.
I know that's something that's been addressed, Coach, in terms of cleaning up, particularly on the penalty side of it. And it looks like the message has been received, and not a moment too soon with the Ivy League schedule getting ready to commence here down the stretch.
Sure, and I'm sure that there's some teams that may put us under more pressure than Howard did at times, even though they were a good football team. But that's a statistic that's very rare.
Weapons on offense, we've talked about the array that you have to choose from and contributions from many. A couple of guys that really stepped out on Saturday, a couple of big touchdown catches from Ledger Hatch, almost 100 yards receiving. He seems to be an emerging go-to guy for Charlie Dean to really have trust in.
Well, I think our biggest assets right now offensively in the pass game are, one, we can run the football. And if you can run the football, you can throw the football. Not necessarily the opposite true, but the reality is that I think we have a very diverse group of receivers. And if you look at Ledger at X receiver, if you look at Kim at Z receiver, you look at our two tight ends, Tyler Neville and Haven Montefalco, of those first four, they're all good targets, they're all good athletes, they can all run after the catch. And certainly we will play probably seven or eight receivers, but those four certainly give us a really good matchup all across the board.
Mentioned running the football, Coach, and Bourget has just been so consistent. He goes over 100 again. He finds the end zone again. We made those Clifton Dawson comparisons to just being the everyday, every play guy for you in terms of what he gives you between the tackles and also having the ability to break one at any time.
Absolutely. Now, I wouldn't quite put him in the Clifton Dawson sort of category in terms of having the same type of finishing speed, because Clifton was a 4.4 kid at 215 pounds. But he's a tremendous back. He can do it all. He's got great instincts. He's got great physicality. He's got great endurance. He's a great fourth down runner. And he's a great goal line runner because he can push the pile. But AB's been terrific. Our offensive line has played better. That's been certainly a huge part of it. And then when you have, a quarterback like Charlie and the receivers we have, the play action pass has yielded some really big plays.
And things really coming together. You referenced the offensive line. One of our Crimson profiles this week on Inside Harvard Football is going to be the man in the middle, Scott Elliott. Just perspective on Scott, who's emerged and developed over the course of his career. Another guy that got hit with the COVID situation in terms of curtailing time for him early on, but he really has been the fulcrum of that offensive line and making it go.
Well, he's had a tremendous year, and he's a kid that does things that you don't necessarily see on film. He's the quarterback making all the calls, and I don't know, I can't remember a kid that we've had who was so talented at being able to ID defenses as a really high football IQ, and seems to get us in the right scheme, the right blitz pickup every single time. He has been an incredibly important cog in the offense in general, the O-line in particular.
Big part of the story for that Crimson offensive line. We're glad that we're going to have an opportunity to talk to him this week. You mentioned about the defense and the defensive effort. Multiple playmakers have emerged on the defensive side, it seems, from week to week. Guy that had a big day, he was honored actually as a special teams player of the week. He could have made a case for him on the defensive side with eight tackles. But James Herring, again, one of your leaders from the secondary at that safety position. We're also going to be talking to him this week.
Well, James Herring is a kid that obviously has had a lot of reps. You know, he's been a three-year starter for us, which is rare for us at any position. You know, he understands, you know, our offense inside out. He's a very savvy player. He's a highly underrated tackler because he's not a big kid. And obviously he's a great special teams player that has a specific knack for blocking punts. So the combination thereof is we have a really good secondary. Are there times we could have played better in the first five games? Sure. But we've got a terrific secondary starting with our corners. You know, we've got two long 6-foot corners and Alex Washington and Khalil Dossie. And then with a really, really veteran safety like James Herring, it should be and it is the strength of our team and our defense.
Yeah, we're waiting for a couple of picks there. We talked about the fact that the defense hadn't taken it away with the INT. You had a couple of picks that loom large for you in the package on Saturday.
Yeah, and there were two kids that, you probably wouldn't have thought of
right.
Perfect ones to have those opportunities. One was Dominic Young-Smith on a really athletic play to salvage a ball that got tipped at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I can't remember the last time I've seen a defensive tackle make an interception. And yep. The other was obviously by a young kid and, you know, guy that wasn't a real starter. But the reality is that when you are a +3 in the turnover ratio and you have zero penalties on offense, you're going to win a lot of games.
+3 on the turnovers, Coach, and the special teams, what can you say as far as their performance? Special teams were special. Once again, we single out James Herring. He was the special teams player of the week in the Ivy League with another block, and I believe that's six blocks in his career. He's really had a knack for that, and turning him loose, it seems like go back to the Yale game last year and a big momentum turn last Saturday in D.C.
Yeah, James has a great knack for it, and our coaches put our guys in a position to make plays. We identified specific weaknesses, and obviously we're going to tailor our blitzes and our punt blocks to that. But, yeah, he's a kid that, since the day he got here, has had a great knack for playing safety and special teams and certainly one of our most valuable players on either side of the ball.
You feel at this point, once again, through the halfway that things beginning to come together. You look at the second half. The game was tight through the first half. There was some adversity to handle. But 24 unanswered points in the second half must have heartened you in terms of the progress that this team has made, as we've talked about here today, from all three phases of the game.
Sure. My simple message for our team going into it is, listen, we're going to focus. We're going to focus on our physicality and our self-discipline. If we do a good job with those two things, then we're going to win the turnover battle. And fortunately, that's what happened. That's what we did. And that's certainly what we're going to need, again, against a very, very good Princeton team, a team that's 5-0, and a team that apparently has no weaknesses.
You're taking a look at that Princeton team, Coach, 5-0 for their fourth straight year. They hadn't done that since the turn of the century, not this century. 1904 to 1907 is the last time that happened. They were able to handle their non-conference schedule, also defeated Columbia and Brown last week in Ivy League play. Yes, the numbers would certainly bode that there is no weakness. In particular, you look at a strength-against-strength matchup on Saturday, how well they have been defending the run, how well your unit has been running the football.
Yeah, something's got to give. There's no question about it. You know, they've done a terrific job giving up, 1.8 or something like that per rush.
Yeah.
You know, extraordinary in this day and age. And if you just look at their overall, their averaging 30-plus points a game and only giving up 11 points a game. That's an amazing spread. So, yeah, like the Holy Cross team that we played, this is an outstanding team that has few identifiable weaknesses.
And you talked about the turnover margin. Not surprisingly, for a 5-0 team, they've done a good job protecting it and a better job taking it away. They're plus 9 in turnovers. A lot of big momentum swings through their schedule so far.
Yeah, that's another big statistic. We had one takeaway going into our fifth game last week down at Howard. We now have four. So, you know, this is a game where whoever wins the takeaway turnover battle, I think, is going to win the game.
Looking at them on the offensive side, Coach, your thoughts as you get ready for the challenge of Blake Stenstrom, a guy that came from a Division I program, transferred in, waited his time to get his opportunity, appears to be making the most of it with the start that he's got off to at the controls of that Princeton offense.
No question. He's a big, strong guy that can make all the throws. They've got probably the best group of receivers that we may face all year. I'd certainly put Yale potentially in that same category, but you look at Andre as Ivas, and you look at Dylan Classy. You know,
yep.
Those guys have approximately 60 receptions for almost 1,000 yards already. Pretty impressive.
Indeed, big numbers there. And on the defensive side, Coach, as we've talked about, when you appraise some of the best defenses, it appears that they have playmakers at every level. None bigger than Liam Johnson, who's just been a tackling machine. 15 against Brown last week, and he's got 43 for the season. Just always around the football, just singling one guy out of many that they have on the defensive side.
Yeah, Liam's an extremely impressive football player. He's always around the ball. He's extremely physical to the point of being able to handle, you know, some of those 300-pound offensive linemen coming off the ball, and very athletic, you know, always at the right place. And, you know, if you don't block number 10, you're going to be in for a long day. They have plenty of other good players, but if you don't block 10, and probably you can say the same for number 4, Matt Jester, if you don't block those two guys, you're in big trouble.
Can I use your term here, Coach? They got a lot of dudes on defense.
They do, Bernie. They're very athletic at all positions. You know, you look at some defensive lines and they're big, strong guys, and I think to some extent Howard was that type of group. These guys are very explosive, very powerful, and they can beat you with their strength, and they can beat you with their athleticism. And I would say whether it's, you know, number 4, Matt Jester, the defensive end, whether it's Uche Nduke, they're big inside defensive tackle number 6. You know, they have plenty of athletes on their team, and they just play so much faster than some of the teams we've seen. It is extremely noticeable within 5 minutes of watching their defense on video.
Well, that'll be the challenge here this week. Coach, I know that your preference to play as early as possible, I think if I could get inside your head just for a moment, you'd prefer all games with Thanksgiving Day at 10:15, but I just like the fact that this is Friday Night Lights, and there is going to be a national TV audience to see this matchup. I know it's one that you and everybody associated with the Harvard program, well, you've waited 364 days to be able to see the Tigers again.
Yeah, anytime. You know, when you only have 10 games, Bernie, every game's an important game. And, you know, on the schedule in general, you know, if you're going to compete for a championship, you know where, at least in the last 10 or 20 years, where Murderers Row has been. This is the beginning of that, so one game at a time. But like I said, this team is a lot like the outstanding Holy Cross team we played. They seem to have, at least on film, very few weaknesses. We are excited to play. We will play well. And all I can say is, you know, we are extremely excited to be playing on Friday night in general, and certainly to have Princeton at home.
Absolutely. Get your popcorn, folks. It's Harvard-Princeton at the stadium. It's Friday Night Lights this week. Coach, all the best. We look forward to seeing you pregame there. We'll have to come down and say hello on Friday before we walk the stairs with Coach Giardi and I.
Look forward to it, Bernie. You guys have a great broadcast, and look forward to Friday.
Coach Murphy, our time with Tim this week as the Crimson get ready for the Princeton Tigers at the stadium. Inside Harvard Football this week, our player profile, our Crimson profile. We actually have two once again this week from the defensive and the offensive side. And in this case, our first guest on the defensive side was actually honored this week as the Ivy League Special Teams Player of the Week for his play last week against Howard down in D.C. in the Crimson's 41-25 victory. Returning to the show, he was with us a year ago. We welcome in native of Dallas, Texas, senior James Herring. James, welcome back to the program. Great to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Indeed, and deservedly so. Once again, congratulations as the Ivy League Special Teams Player of the Week. I think you could have made a case on the defensive side. Active on the defensive side once again with eight tackles and big influence there. But once again, you did it again as far as your knack for being able to block kicks, six in your career. And I know we had referenced it last year, and I guess this is something you've always had as part of your game, I guess, going back to your days in high school.
Yeah, more so when I came up to school, settling in as an underclassman, kind of found a role for myself on the special teams, especially in 2019. I think I blocked three punts then, and got myself on the coach's radar a little bit. But yeah, that was certainly, love running around on special teams, flying around, trying to make plays. We got a great coordinator and Coach Pop, and a lot of guys playing really hard. So, a lot of fun.
Oh, indeed. You mentioned back in 2019, of course, we all lost 2020 to the COVID pandemic, but you had 2-1 game, and I remember against Cornell, 3 overall, and your last one before this one last week was rather memorable because that happened in the Yale game where every play was important and vital with the Crimson making that comeback for the victory.
Yeah, the Yale punt was a fun one. Seeing Kobe get the ball and go score a touchdown, that was a special moment. But certainly a lot of fun on the field.
Indeed. Anything in particular as far as technique and setup? You're not giving too much away, but working with the special teams, working with your special teams coaching, breaking things down, you see an opening, you see a flaw, or you just maybe see something you might be able to exploit and then put you in a position to succeed?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. It kind of comes down to two things. The first being timing the snap, getting a good jump off the ball. Mm-hmm. And the second is you need quite a bit of luck. it takes a great play from a teammate next to me or a break in the coverage from the offensive side to have an unusual play such as the blocked punt.
Well, it's an unusual play that's oftentimes can turn the momentum of a game. In this case, last week, 24-17, the game's tight, and with the block punt, able to set the Crimson offense up in the red zone at the 12-yard line, made the game 31-17. Those are swing plays. It's been unusual. The defense has certainly played well and held up well, but turnovers overall hadn't happened until the two picks this week. I thought that was very unusual, particularly with the veteran secondary that you have this year. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah, certainly. That's been a point of emphasis recently is getting these takeaways. We're more efficient at last year. But overall, I think the group's coming together. I think the unit's coming together, and we're really excited for what lies ahead, the gauntlet that lies ahead.
And of course, what lies ahead is Princeton on Friday. You had a big game in that really hard-fought game down at Princeton, memorable somewhat for all the wrong reasons as we look back, but nevertheless, you got another shot this week and excited about it. But you were all over the field, as you often are, a tackling machine, sideline to sideline, seven tackles, broke up a pass against Princeton. A lot of challenges facing the Princeton offense a year ago. There's some changes in personnel, but they're off to a great start at 5-0, and as you're getting ready this week, what are some of the elements, some of the keys to your game in terms of being successful on the defensive side with you, one of the leaders on the defensive side, as one of the veterans?
Yeah, you know, we try to approach each game, you know, with a similar mindset. And, you know, we have a couple goals as a defensive unit each game. The first one always being stop the run. And then the next, which I think will play into more of a factor this week, is preventing big plays. You know, mm-hmm. if we can do those two things, it will be a good day for the Crimson. Mm-hmm.
Indeed, that's what we look for. And in terms of this game, I suspect that a big part of the motivation, you guys getting up at the crack of dawn, your workout regimen over the off season, I'm sure that you know, you take them all, but this one I'm sure was circled in black and orange on the calendar when that schedule came out. You probably had to cross out Saturday and make it Friday when they made this a Friday night game.
Yeah, I think the sentiment in the locker room is that a lot of us have been waiting for this. A lot of us have had this weekend circled on our calendar for a while. Mm. Regardless, you know, it's the same preparation. It's the same mindset that we take into every week. But, you know, there's certainly some emotional ties to this game that, you know, are hard to ignore. But, you know, like to emphasize that each game is the same process. You know, it's the same amount of work that goes in. You know, all the film study, all the practice, all the hours after practice, you know, all of that is the standard. And so, you know, I'm just approaching each week with the same intensity and the same, you know, desire is something we pride ourselves here at Harvard.
Absolutely. And well, we talked about it last year. You're a native of Dallas, Texas, Highland Park High School. You're right in the heart of Friday Night Lights in every sense of the word. What about the fact that you're playing this one and you're going to be playing it on Friday night, something that you're very familiar with from your background, longstanding, something exciting for you? I'm not saying you wouldn't be excited if this game could be played at 3 in the morning on a Monday, but the fact that it's Friday night, I know I'm even a little bit more excited about it as far as calling the game under the lights with the TV audience, ESPNU, et cetera.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. There's something about playing under the lights, like you said. You know, it adds a little bit to the atmosphere. Adds, you know, it adds to everything leading up to you know, the game time. You get the whole morning to yourself, you know, to get your mind right and do everything you need. Get a couple meals in, and yeah. To your point, the Friday night lights aspect is also special. You know, played many games on Friday nights growing up, so you know, really looking forward to this one.
Absolutely, you played some big ones at down in Dallas, down at Highland Park, and we referenced last year your dad, Edward. Wide receiver at Stanford, played for the legendary Bill Walsh, and you following on the gridiron, and not the end of the line, truth be told, for the family. I understand that that there's another herring that's currently playing for Highland Park.
Yeah, my youngest brother, Luke, he's a captain down at Highland Park. The senior season, he's a you know, 6'3 receiver that's faster, bigger, stronger than me, so give him a chance, please.
Oh, there's the request from his agent, James, for his younger brother, his younger brother, Luke. And we'll be looking for him. We wish him all the great success. Well, James, thanks very much for coming back and joining us. You don't know who Bob Wesley is. Bob Wesley is my plumber here in Stoneham. And if there's a if the toilet needs fixing, I call Bob Wesley. If I needed a punt block, I'd call you, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you for that.
Okay. James, Friday Night Lights. It'll be under the lights with the Tigers and the Crimson on Friday. And I want to wish you all the best for a great night for you and a great night for the Crimson. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
man. James Herring, he's representing the defense this week for our Crimson Profile, the senior safety from Dallas, Texas, here on Inside Harvard Football. And very pleased to have with us, representing the offense for our Crimson Profile this week, veteran center out of Holliston, Mass., Scott Elliott. Scott, welcome. Great to have you with us this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bernie. Appreciate it.
Well, Scott, the offensive line has really seemed to develop, grow, and emerge as a major contributor to a great start that the Crimson have been off to this year. Overall, somewhat of a veteran unit. You've been a starter for a couple of years at the all-important center position. Just to give us some insight, people sometimes get lost a little bit with the line play, but just to give us some perspective about you, your line mates on the offensive line, and how you guys have come together to really gel this year as a group in terms of protecting and being able to open holes for the running game.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely more of an experienced group than we had last year. You know, we had four guys starting on the offensive line right now who all had starting experience. Mason at right guard, Alec at left tackle, and myself starting the majority of the year last year. And then Jake Rizzi, junior at right tackle, got some playing time against Penn. And then one new fresh face at left guard, Austin Gentle, sophomore. But I think one of the biggest things that this unit has done a really good job of, starting all the way back in spring ball, was just the level of competition in the practices and everything like that. You know, we feel like we have 9-10 guys you can throw into a game and compete at an extremely high level and know everybody's assignments and everything like that. You know, so an extremely veteran unit. Obviously, against Merrimack, starting out in the season, we did not feel like we played to our potential, and I think we really took that to heart a little bit. And Coach Kennedy, you know, Coach Kennedy does a great job starting on Sundays. You know, going over the film from this from the past game and going over our mistakes and how we can communicate better and everything like that. So Coach Kennedy does an extremely great job getting us prepared to look at all the different looks that we have. And I think something special about this group is just, you know, we've done an incredible job communicating across the board. You know, at the center position, I like to think that I can see everything that the defense is doing, but obviously I can't. And I think our tackles, Alec and Jake, have done an extremely great job just kind of alerting blitz looks and everything like that. And then, obviously, we see a lot of different types of defenses, especially with Holy Cross and Cornell this year. Mm. And I think us interior guys, you know, me, Mace, and Gentle have done an extremely great job just passing things off. So I think starting from the Merrimack game and going all the way to Howard last week, I think we've done an incredible job just our growth in communication as well as our physicality.
Oh, absolutely. Well said. And I think really it's been noticeable. And being able to face the challenges that you have had over the course of the year. You mentioned about the Merrimack. There's always that game one versus game three scenario when you open with a non-conference opponent. And Merrimack now a Division I. They're a scholarship program. I think it seems like you face some real speed on that Merrimack defense. And then, as you mentioned, some exotic looks from Cornell. Everybody's kind of giving you a little something to digest to get ready now to make this Ivy League run the last 5 weeks. Holy Cross had some just tremendous, I think, individual talent that you had to account for. And that's all bringing you to this Friday and the challenge of the Princeton Tigers offense.
Yeah, definitely. We played some incredible opponents over the past couple weeks. But we feel, you know, this Princeton team coming up is one of, if not you know, the best defensive line that we're going to see. A lot of familiar faces from last year when we faced them. Obviously, we're a younger group, and Princeton kind of threw you know, some defensive schemes and looks and blitzes that we weren't necessarily prepared for and didn't communicate a great deal last year. So we know, you know, something different is going to come. They're going to have a little flavor of the week. But I think a lot of returners on Princeton's defense, especially the front seven, and all those guys look bigger, stronger, more explosive. And then they have two new guys, a middle linebacker, who play really downhill, really aggressive, played really well with their hands. So this will be extremely fun challenge for us Friday night.
No doubt. And number of weapons, it's got to be great to be a member of that offensive line. You mentioned a veteran group that's really come together. The weapons are really starting to come to the forefront on offense, and big part of that is the fact that Charlie's had time to throw the ball, give the receivers time to get open, and Aiden Bourget and the rest of that stable of running backs, He really has been a factor week in and week out. It's got to be fun to block for a guy like that. He doesn't need much sometimes, Scott, to be able to make something. Sometimes he makes something out of nothing. You give him a little bit of something, and he can make it.
Yeah, AB makes it easy for us. I mean, setting up linebackers and second-level defenders, you know, to help with our double teams a little bit, he makes it extremely, extremely easy. And it's really nice to block for, you know, such a humble and you know, one of, if not the hardest-working person on the team, to be honest with you. So, obviously, AB, you know, he's the best running back in the league and makes it really easy for us. And, you know, just some other weapons, like Charlie has done a great job communicating and making the correct checks and giving us time to communicate across the line. And he's obviously slinging the rock to a lot of great athletes outside. And, you know, I know shout out Ledge had a career day against Howard, and Tim's doing extremely, extremely well. So, you know, we give Charlie enough time to get it to our playmakers. We know special things are going to happen. I think that's exactly what will happen Friday night.
Absolutely, that's what we're all looking for on Friday, and based on the evidence and how things have come together, it's going to be all roads leading in that direction, pointing in that direction. And you mentioned about really the game within the game that a lot of people don't realize the responsibilities of the center are staggering in terms of what you have to do. And you mentioned having that veteran group; it makes your life much easier. The communication level, you got to get the protections right. Working with the guys to get the protections, help from your quarterback, but help from the other offensive linemen. Are you guys, I'm going to assume that you guys are a pretty close group, both on and off the field, it would appear. Most great offensive lines, they hang out together. There's a lot of camaraderie.
Yeah, definitely. You know, especially outside the locker room, we're really close, you know. Get dinner all the time with the guys, and, you know, we all, you know, every classroom's together, basically. So, you know, see each other in class, and really it's nice cohesion, you know, whether you're a freshman or a senior, you know, just the comfort in the room's really, really great to have. And, you know, I think Coach Kennedy's doing an incredible job establishing that day one in fall camp when the freshmen come in. And I think us seniors, you know, the six seniors, me, Cassell, Joggs, Wells, Alec, and Mace have done a great job trying to implement the freshmen into the type of culture in our room, I think it's been working the past couple of years.
Well, one of our supporters on the broadcast is Augie Gourmet, and I know Steve over there. I remember him telling me going back last season when I first met him, we see a lot of the offensive linemen, they like the breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, there are a couple of good places in the square. You got Augie. I've been going to Pavement a little bit. Yep. And obviously Duncan's is pretty easy when you're going across the river.
Okay, absolutely. And great to see you. With me being a local guy, Scott, and you coming from Holliston, you had an outstanding high school career going back. And once again, we talked to James Herring on the program this week. His football background, and yours is pretty extensive also. A couple of generations represented. That's what happens when you get to be as old as me. I was calling the BU games when your father and your uncle were playing on the offensive line for BU. So how about that?
Oh, no way. That's really funny. Yeah, those are my dad and my uncle coached me, you know, when I was in elementary school and all the way throughout Pop Warner. They never made me, you know, play football or anything like that. They always made sure that I was the one, you know, loving the game. But that definitely was kind of what kind of pushed me to begin playing, and obviously fell in love with the game after that.
No, indeed. And your brothers, during COVID, you pretty much turned the basement into a gym to work out there. You got your brother Jack, I believe. Is he still at Tufts? And then you had a brother that was at BBNN, your brother Brett.
Yeah, my brother Jack's a sophomore tight end at Tufts right now, and then Brett is a junior tight end, defensive end at Buckingham Brown and Nichols. But yeah, over COVID, we kind of, you know, mismatched a bunch of exercise equipment down in our basement just to try to work out and stay in shape.
Yeah.
You know, we got some interesting things down there. Finally got a squat rack about a couple months into COVID. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, working out with those guys and having the time, just, you know, hang out with them. Obviously, COVID was a tough time for a lot of people, but one thing that did come out of it was being able to hail my brothers to work out with them and push each other, which is really nice to have.
And I'm sure a little pressure on your mother to make sure that you were fed there with what was going on downstairs. Make sure these guys are staying well fed and fortified.
Yeah. A lot of a lot of ground turkey, a lot of ground beef, a lot of rice. My mom was a little busy, but we tried to help out. Brett sure. Started cooking a little bit, so it was good.
Yep, absolutely. Well, once again, we want to wish you the best of luck here, and it turned out you didn't have to wait 365 days. The Ivy League took care of that. They made it Friday Night Lights, and I'm sure you played your share of Friday Night Lights at Holliston. It's 364 days. They knock one day off to get you to this Friday.
I know. It's an exciting one. Obviously, with everything that happened last year, that's in the past, but I think a lot of these upperclassmen still have that feeling of driving that 6 hours back to Cambridge. So we've got that one circled, had that one circled for a while now.
Indeed. Well, make the most of the opportunity, Scott, and we want to wish you and the rest of your O-line boys the best of luck on Friday. We're looking forward to it as you are, and good luck here on Friday and down the stretch of your senior season.
Thank you, Bernie. Really appreciate it.
Scott Elliott, he is the senior center, the leader of that Harvard offensive line out of Holliston, Mass., joining us here on our Crimson Profile on the offensive side this week on Inside Harvard Football.